Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites. Another rope made of
another show. Well, I have now seen the splashiest, most expensive, most deliciously decadent new show on Broadway. Moulin Rouge was a film that many loved, and Broadway production is also winning a lot of diehard fans. I found it very entertaining, but also a bit exhausting, so on the same day I also went to a show that represents the opposite side of theater. And finally today I'm going to share some thoughts about two actors who spent their summers doing Shakespeare far away from the two coasts, who occasionally think only they have sophisticated, excited theatergoers. Well, how wrong they are. So, let's start with Moulin Rouge. This is a $28 million production, and every penny of it is visible, beginning with the dressing up of the Al Hirschfeld Theater, with its huge windmill, staircases for half-dressed women to slide up and down, swallow swords, and do some impressive acrobatics. Curtains behind curtains of bright color, and did I mention the huge elephant hovering over one side of the audience? The costumes, the sets, nothing is spared, and we do feel that we are inside the famous nightclub in the bohemian quarter of Montmartre at the turn of the last century. Well, what's fun about the show, as was true with the Baz Luhrmann film, is the music. A great playlist here, including bits and pieces of Elton John, The Stones, Tina Turner, Beyoncé. Just about every conversation begins or ends with, well, the beginning or an ending of a song. Now, as for the plot, well, it's about a show within a show. There is a doomed love story at its center, a desperate attempt to save the Moulin Rouge, and yes, that disease that you will know from all those operas. The performers, of whom there are many, all work up a sweat. The main roles are filled by Karen Oliva. Now, she won a Tony for West Side Story. Her entrance here is one to remember. And Aaron Tveit as her smitten younger lover. Tamatmutu is the Duke with the deep pockets. He's one of those who we want to hate, but of course we've got to love him. And the ever-present Danny Burstein, who is our host here. Welcome, reprobates and rascals, he says. Well, think Joel Grey in Cabaret and you'll get the drift. The last two times I saw Burstein were as Tevye in Fiddler on the Roof and Eliza's father in My Fair Lady. Now that is a true man of the theater. I will say that the first act is better than the second. It's more fun, better song choices. But this show is going to be around for a good long time, I imagine. Moulin Rouge, by the way, has matinees on Thursday rather than Wednesday, which you will discover, I hope, not the wrong way, like ending up there on Wednesday. You'd be surprised how many folks end up at shows at 8, not realizing many now go on at 7. Anyway, needing a rest after Moulin Rouge, I hopped over to 59 East 59th and its tiniest venue, Theater C, where a pleasant new work is playing. It's called Tech the Pork, and it's written and directed by Deborah Whitfield. Five performers do very nicely in this piece, which starts in the present day. You know, the one where you can't tell the remote from the cell when you call for service and can't get to an actual human being, and how we use the devices of our lives. What's up with the attitude, Siri, is the first line in this one. He just texted me the divorce papers, is another. Anyway, the main, very frustrated character here, who feels like an analog girl in a digital world, starts pressing buttons, and each one sends her back in time. She's in 1919, then 1946, then the late 70s. There are some personal relationships that thread it all together, and some actual history. There's a lot of dialogue reflecting the change from feminine to feminist. We follow that ERA amendment, yep, the one that we still haven't passed. And we are reminded how every generation welcomed or not new conveniences and electronic changes. It's a show that could also be improved, though it is technically impressive for such a little space. But for right now, the audience seems to be smiling throughout. And one of the final lines really stayed with me. Did I do something in my past that destroyed my future? Now, one of the nicest things of my week was talking to two working actors, one who resides in New York, the other in Los Angeles, about their summers. Trisha Mancuso Park spent hers doing two Shakespeare plays in repertory in Nebraska. Its Shakespeare Festival has been going on for 33 years. Trisha did Hamlet and All's Well That Ends Well, sometimes on the same day. Armin Shimerman has spent his summer in Utah at that state's highly respected and Tony-acknowledged Shakespeare Festival. Just because a theater is done in the provinces, he told me, that does not mean that those theater audiences are provincial in their taste. Shimerman, who, by the way, teaches Shakespeare and has performed it in places like the famed Guthrie, also said regional audiences are more courteous to the players. Here in Utah, the audiences seem intent on applauding after every major scene. Funnily enough, Armin and Trish both played the same role this summer, Polonius in Hamlet. Well, Trish may be playing Polonius in Hamlet, said Shimerman, but we have a female Richard of Gloucester and a black man playing Macbeth. Trish told me she would do it all again in a heartbeat. The productions were stellar, she says, thousands of attentive theatergoers. And, she said, the universities very much feed into the process. Well, yet another reminder, as we always say here, that theater is appreciated, at least good theater, in a lot more places than we may have imagined, and even Shakespeare yet. Now back to Broadway to finish here. The next year, Stephen Sondheim turns 90, and his work will be everywhere. The West End version of Company will be coming next season. This one has Katrina Link in the main role of Bobby. That's spelled B-O-B-B-I-E this time around. Hey, a woman can be as scared of commitment as a man. Of course, the latest revival of West Side Story, for which Sondheim did the lyrics, that one is already selling tickets and in rehearsal, while Steven Spielberg and Tony Kushner are doing a new movie version. And don't even ask about what film director Richard Linklater plans to do with Merrily We Roll Along. Well, Jill, I guess you can ask.
No, I already know. I just said, like, 20 years. Sondheim will be 110 when it's over.
That's right.
So that's going to be really, really interesting. The other thing that will be interesting is, if you know, there have been some Sondheim, shall we say, muses over the years, interpreters. Mm-hmm. I wonder if they will reappear. I wonder if there will be, I wonder what else will be done to celebrate. And then other thing that I've just always found so striking is, do you know who shares a birthday with Stephen Sondheim, though they are not the same age?
God, it sounds familiar.
Yeah, this is a no-brainer, but talk about monopoly.
Yeah, who would that be? Hal Prince, somebody like that? No.
Andrew Lloyd Webber.
But he's not turning 90, of course.
He's not turning 90, but I said, talk about a monopoly on writers.
And very different.
Absolutely.
More diverse styles, right?
We're not looking for that. I'm just saying, you know, can you imagine? If you were playing a game, if you were in the provinces playing a game and you had to name two composers, if you were on Family Feud, these two gentlemen,
they would come to mind.
They most certainly would.
And who knew that they share the same birthday? Yeah.
So
one is known for his. Well, they're both known.
They're both known, and it's for their shows, and that's all that need be said. But are there any separate and apart? Are you any rumblings? Because technically speaking, it's fall.
Oh yeah. Well, next week I'll be talking about Betrayal. The 50th revival of that, which I have seen, I just saw, and very happy with that. So Betrayal, and I don't know how much buzz that's picking up. People thought it would be a buzzier thing. But anyway, that is just starting this week officially. Betrayal, the other big show coming also from London, is Inheritance, which is a two-parter, kind of an Angels in America thing. Lots of revivals. I think we talked about that last week with the, all the musical revivals, A Little Shop and West Side Story. And, things are perking up. I'm trying to think what else. Oh, there are a number of the jukeboxes are coming, right? Tina Turner, which is also coming from London, interestingly enough. And there's a little Jagged Pill. So we got some jukeboxes, we got some revivals, and we got some new originals. So we'll see We'll see where we're at, but people are saying it looks like a surprisingly busy fall season.
And is there some excitement in the air?
I don't know. Like I said, I thought Betrayal would have a little more. The last time that played was with Daniel Craig, and you couldn't get a ticket if you sold your grandmother. I went to it just a few days ago, and there were cheap seats. They were moving people down. Maybe once the official reviews come out this week, because I do think they'll be positive. Maybe, it stars Tom Hiddleston, who was kind of a hot guy from the movies, the Avengers, and TV. He's excellent, but he's really the only known name in it. So I don't know. It's Pinter, but I don't want to give too much away. Anyway, yeah, there's some buzz coming in. I think mostly for this. Oh, and also the LBJ show is coming to Lincoln Center. We'll see about that. It's the second part, The Great Society. So I don't know if you want to sit through 3 hours of LBJ, then that's get your tickets now.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.